In Numbers chapter 20, we read a story that we're fairly familiar with. For many of you, you know Moses. He rescued the people out of Egypt, and they're on this journey, and where we're about to read, this is towards the tail end of that journey. That they've been wandering through the wilderness. They're about at the 40-year mark, and this encounter happens here in verse 2 through 11. It says this: there was no water for the people to drink at that place. So they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The people were heated. The people blamed Moses and said, "If only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into the wilderness to die along with our livestock? Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, and no water to drink." Moses and Aaron, they turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground, and the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, "You and Aaron must take the staff." That was the walking stick that Moses would use to perform miracles. "Take the staff and assemble the entire community, and as the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour water, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock." So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. "Listen, you rebels," he shouted. "Must we bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand, and he struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out. So the community and their livestock drank their fill. Verse 12 says, "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them.'" The title of my message today is Relationship, Not Religion. Relationship, not religion. For a lot of us here, you know that this was not the first time water came out of a rock. Decades earlier, when Moses was just getting started, younger Moses, probably a little bit more fit, a little bit more thin, he was just getting started on this journey out of Egypt. And there was this one day when it was really toasty and everybody was thirsty and there was no water to drink. The people start complaining to Moses, very similar to what we just read. They're complaining, saying, "Moses, why did you bring us out here? We're going to die. We need something to drink." So Moses and Aaron, they go to that tent. And they go and talk to God, and God gives them some unique instruction decades earlier. And in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, you see the instruction that God gave Moses when he was younger. It says this in verse 6, "Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." Moses did this while the leaders of Israel watched him. So decades earlier, Moses is in the same boat. And God says, "Moses, take your walking stick and strike the rock." Moses strikes the rock and water comes out and everybody is happy. And about 40 years later, Moses is in the same boat. But God doesn't tell Moses to strike the rock. He says, "Moses, this time, I just want you to speak to it." Moses makes his way to this rock, and everybody is watching. And Moses has a decision to make in this moment. Do I put my trust in a method, or do I put my trust in the person of God? Do I put my trust in a principle, or do I put my trust and faith in God? There's nothing wrong with principles. There's nothing wrong with methods. Some of us need a new method or two. But methods that are absent of relationship is religion. And religion has no power to save you. There's nothing wrong with methods. There's nothing wrong with principles. But the principle and the method absent of my relationship with the author of the book is religion, and religion has no power. In the New Testament, you see these men. The Bible refers to them as the seven sons of Sceva. They're catching wind that the disciples are doing all of these miracles. They're casting these demons out of people, so these guys get this bright idea, like, let's go out and cast some demons today. So they get together and they find this demon-possessed man and they run over to him. And they're like, this is our opportunity to be just like those guys. So they pull out their method book, they pull out their principle book, and they look at this demon-possessed man. And they say, hey, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. They probably thought something was going to happen. Nothing happened. The demon man is just looking at him. And he makes this, I'd be freaking out. Thinking, that was supposed to work. Sam, that was supposed to work. The demon man looks at those people. He says, Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? There is no power in your method if it's absent of relationship. But if you're like me, you ask questions when you read these stories. And I'm like, but God, water came out of the rock when Moses struck it. God, it worked. It was a method and it worked. Moses probably looked like a hero to everybody. I mean, think about it. No one else was complaining. They were just happy water. Moses probably looked like a very successful human. I want to be like Moses. Wow, look at Moses. Wow, look at Moses. He's so awesome. Everything he touches just works. He's so great. But can I tell you that your definition of success and God's definition of success are completely different? Just because you're producing things in your life doesn't necessarily mean that God is all about it. Your definition, God's definition is different because God wasn't there saying, you know what, Moses, good job. You did the good old water out the rock trick. He looked at Moses and said, Moses, why didn't you believe in me? When God looks at your life, he wants to know, put the methods aside. Do you believe in me? Do you have faith in me? Who am I to you? So what? You went to church the last 3 weeks in a row. Who cares? Do you know me? Am I just some calendar that you cross out when you get things? Or do you know me? Relationship, not religion. But how do I know where I'm at? Because if I'm honest, sometimes I kind of go back and forth. Sometimes I'm operating religiously. And other times I'm operating relationally. So how do I know, how do you know where you are at today? And I believe there's some indicators that have just helped me personally to really see if my relationship with God is authentic. Or if I've just manufactured this thing. When I've seen my life with God, like on point, faith in God, when I'm operating out of relationship, I've seen these two components. And the first thing that I notice is my love for others. When you're operating out of relationship, you aren't so critical of other people. It's really difficult to get out of the presence of God and sit there wanting to cast stones at people. Sometimes people deserve some stones to be casted, but I'm just saying it's very difficult to do that. When you're operating out of relationship, all of a sudden you start seeing the potential in people. all of a sudden you have this thing in you that wants to just love even the people that hate you the most. If you're walking around critical, looking for other people to mess up so you can feel bigger about yourself, you're probably tapping into religion and not relationship. This is the reason why this is important is because religion and relationship, they could look the same on the surface. Side note, water came out of both rocks. It was very difficult to determine what was what to the... So these indicators can really help you to see what you're operating out of. Do you love people? Do you see the best in people? Like people that can't do a thing for you, how do you treat that person? The person that can't bring anything to the table, how do you treat that person? Because when my relationship with God is operating out of relationship and not methods, I have a tendency just to want to love people, to believe the best in them, to not be so critical. It's just an indicator. Another indicator that I've seen is when I am operating out of relationship and not religion, I'm typically at rest. I'm at rest, meaning life can look crazy, but man, I'm at rest. Life can look so unpredictable, but man, I'm at rest. When I'm operating at a relationship, I have this unique ability to sleep during storms. And when I'm not sleeping during storms, and I'm panicked, and I'm nervous, and I'm constantly freaking out, and I'm Googling everything and its mother to see what's going on with me, usually I'm tapping into religion and not relationship. Because when your relationship with God is right, there's a peace that comes to you in that moment that surpasses all understanding. Relationship, not religion. Operate out of rest. Man, you can come up and help me because I can't feel my left hand. My fingers are kind of cold. I don't get cold. You ever walk through like that, you get some eggs or milk at Costco and you go into that thing? It feels good during the month of June, but we're wrapping up. But we're talking about relationship, not religion. When I was reading the story, you know, as you look at this whole journey that Moses was on, the 40 years, and you get to this one point where Moses strikes the rock. He doesn't speak to it. He strikes it. And then God looks at Moses and says, like, Moses, that was the deal breaker. You're not going into the land that I promised you guys. What you just did right there is going to keep you from the land you've been believing for. It's going to keep you from the life you have wanted. It's going to keep you from the miracles you were hoping to see. And as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, God, really? He strikes the rock? And that's the deal breaker? Because during the 40 years, there was a lot of stupid things that happened in the wilderness. And in my carnal opinion, there was a lot of things that looked worse to me that should have kept them out. They didn't keep them out. Like there was this one time Moses was praying and the people were getting tired of waiting for him. So they're like, hey, let's collect all of our jewelry. Let's melt it and make a god and let's worship him in the desert. They did that. And that wasn't the deal breaker, God. He strikes the rock and it's a deal breaker. They worship the calf and it wasn't. They were doing the dirty in the desert with people they shouldn't have been doing the dirty with. And that didn't keep them out of the promised land. Can we just be real? He strikes the rock, and that was the deal breaker. He strikes the rock, and that he didn't believe in you, and that was the deal breaker. You know, this rock story has more to do with you than you know. This rock story has more to do with your relationship with Jesus than you know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, Paul paints a little picture to us of what this rock was all about. And he says this, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. And that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. That rock is a picture of Jesus. The rock that was struck was a picture of Jesus. This is going to make sense to you in just a moment. When Jesus was going to the cross to die for you and me, he wasn't going to the cross to die for you so you can like have a better shot at life to try to figure it out, to try harder. He was dying on a cross to pay the price for everything you could never pay for. He was dying on that cross so that you could be in right standing with God, not by striking rocks, but because you just know him and have faith. He died on that cross for you and I because we were never enough. He died on that cross to do away with religion and tradition. He died on that cross so that you can walk in freedom and experience God by simply believing that he is who he says that he is. He died on that cross. Your rock died on that cross. So you wouldn't have to earn it. So you wouldn't have to fight for it. So the next time you were believing for a miracle in your life, you wouldn't have to twist God's arm to see him heal your body, but you could say, God, I believe that you are who you say that you are. He was that rock. And when he was on that cross, he said these monumental words, it is finished. Meaning the job is done. You can live the life that God has for you. And just because God knows that we would need a sign, something crazy happens after those words are declared. As Jesus is on that cross dead, something happens in John 19, verse 34. It says, but one of the soldiers stuck his spear. What is that a picture of? He stuck his spear into the side of Jesus, and at once blood and water came out. What was this a picture of? This was a picture of young Moses when they went to get some instruction. And God said, Moses, this is the first time. You got to strike the rock. It was a picture of what Jesus was doing on the cross for you. You got to strike the rock. And the rock was struck and water came out. But this makes crystal clear sense why the next time God said, Moses, you ain't striking it anymore. Moses, I don't need you to strike your way into heaven, Moses. This time, you go to the rock and just speak to it. Moses, put down your rod of trying to earn it, baby. Speak to it. It's already been struck. You don't have to earn it anymore. Do you know every time you tap into religion or put more faith in your methods, it's no different than methods than Moses striking a rock he was supposed to speak to. This is why God said, Moses, I understand it don't seem big, but Moses, I can't let you in. Because you don't get in this way by striking things. You get in this way by believing in me. How are you going to get healed this December? By believing he is who he says that he is. How are you going to get delivered this month? By believing. You mean I don't have to keep striking rocks to prove myself? No. Moses, speak to the rock. When water came out of Jesus, it was over. You never have to strike your way into heaven. You never have to strike your way into prosperity. You never have to strike your way into the blessings of God. Oh, better believe there will be methods, but the methods will be in relationship, and that's where the power is at. Relationship, not religion. Is your faith in a method, or is your faith in the person of Jesus? God has some great things for you. God has some awesome things in your future, in your tomorrows, in your todays. And it just irritates me that somehow religion tries to creep in, tries to sprinkle itself on your faith to limit you, to cause you to try to strive for something that is unstrivable, if that's even a word. It is yours. It is yours. It is finished. You're gonna make it. So when I say by the stripes of Jesus I am healed, I'm not regurgitating a verse. I believe that it's over. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm gonna speak to some things. Some of you gotta start speaking to some things. And don't speak it from the position of defense. You speak to it from the position of offense, because you are now in the driver's seat because of what Jesus did for you. I want to invite you to stand to your feet in this place today. Did this make sense? Relationship, not religion. I want to pray for you. Well, I still got feeling in my right hand. God, today, we repent forever. We repent forever thinking that we could earn it. God, today we rejoice to solely know you. We rejoice to be called sons, to be called daughters. We rejoice knowing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is on our side. We rejoice for giving us victory through Jesus, dismantling all the powers of the devil once and for all. God, we repent for making Satan way bigger than he is. We repent for relinquishing authority to the fallen one. Today, we take our stand and we choose to believe in the one that was sent on our behalf. Today, we just break the back of every religious mindset in this place. We speak freedom. We speak rest. We speak ease. We will see our promised land and it will be easy. We will see the fulfillment of these promises in our life and it will be easy. Holy Spirit, move. We remove our religious mentality out of the picture. We move it out of the way so you can flow. So you can be God in our life. So you can be God in our city. So you can be God in our church.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.